A biologist signs up for a dangerous, secret expedition into a mysterious zone where the laws of nature don't apply. Welcome to the List Off!
That doesn't make any sense.
This is Annihilation, 2018. How can we forget Mr. Megorian's Wonder Emporium?
His flesh is peeling from his bones. Yes.
Sentence podcast that became a Futurama podcast.
Yeah, I'll fix it in post.
Yes, hello, welcome to the List Off. TBN presents the List Off. That's Two Bad Neighbors, and it was a Simpsons podcast that became a Futurama podcast that flamed out very quickly and now rises like a phoenix from the ashes, a mutated phoenix from the ashes that has the horrible screech of someone who just got eaten by that phoenix.
Oh no!
And is now about
this
what we should have been
scary.
Yes, it should. Well, we're talking about a scary movie, and it's about what we should be talking about all the time, and that is movies. Yeah. Yes, films.
We're talking about movies.
We are,
and we're continuing our countdown of the 50 best films of the 2010s, as chosen by ourselves and our guests
by 20 good friends.
That's right, and we are back from our hiatus over the holidays. Where we left everyone hanging in anticipation.
Happy holidays, Alan.
Happy holidays, Greg.
I hope they were wonderful for you.
They were fine.
They were fine.
Yeah, how about you?
Good. A little stressful.
Yeah.
But you know what? Pretty great.
That's good.
Pretty great all around. Would do again.
Yeah, and now you're back.
And it's not like I have a choice. Christmas comes every year, and you have to do it.
Whether we want it or not.
Yep. You have to do it, or you get sad. Because I tried not doing it before.
Yeah.
And all that happened was I bought 7-Eleven and was very sad.
Wait, you would tried you? It Christmas with the Cranks style Christmas?
Yeah, right?
Not familiar with the film.
No. Just the book by John Grisham.
By John Grisham.
It's honestly the only Grisham, aside from The Client. No. Oh. The Chamber.
The Chamber.
Excuse me. That I haven't seen.
You're better off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I figured.
I did watch Christmas with the Cranks this holiday season. Surprisingly not as bad as I thought it would be.
Sure.
But not any good.
But it's a Tim Allen, right?
It is a Tim Allen.
With Jamie Lee?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough to have Tim Allen in a movie.
Yeah. Unless he's just a voice, like a space ranger.
Yeah.
It's pretty...
If he's not a specific space ranger's voice, it's tough to have...
Or, alternatively, a captain of a space crew who is actually an actor...
That's kind of the only perfect use for him in live action.
I agree.
I find.
I love Galaxy Quest.
Because I think any number of people could have done the Santa Claus, because that's not a very good movie.
It did not hold up on last rewatching. Natasha was insistent that we watch it, and she fell asleep halfway through, leaving me on my own, abandoned in an abyss of poor CGI.
Yeah. Well,
speaking of the abyss...
Oh.
4K's out.
Yeah.
Is it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to get it?
Already got it, bud.
Already, oh, boy.
How does it look?
I underestimated you.
I haven't watched it yet. It just updated naturally on Apple.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that came out.
Thank you, Robot Overlords.
Thank you, Robot Overlords. However, there was some weird shit going on. I'll spare you the boring details, but
please.
It almost didn't work.
Hmm. Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought for a second that they pulled a heist and took it away from me.
Apple heisted you?
They can do that.
They can do that.
They can do that.
Just pull their digital content back off.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. They can do that because really all you're doing when you buy something is renting it long term.
Mm-hmm. Lease. You're leasing it.
It's a lease. It's truly a lease.
Yeah, and they're trying to do that with our video games. And I say, no.
No.
Stop it.
But
let me own things.
Yes. Like Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
Yes.
Good example. We have a new guest today.
We do.
Hailing all the way from the Beltline area.
It was a long way. It was a long drive.
It was a trek. That's my drive every time I come here. So just remember that.
And he's doing it again tomorrow.
I'm doing it again tomorrow. Nick Johnson is here. No relation.
Oh, yeah.
And
I always forget we have the same last name.
Yeah, this is going to be tough.
Yeah. People who may know my brother, who is named Kevin Johnson, also no relation to Nick Johnson, but is related to me. Alan
Johnson. I thought you were going to say I had no relation.
I'm related
to
Kevin, but not to you.
That's right.
Kevin's my dad.
Welcome, Nick. You were one of the 20 aforementioned friends who submitted a list of their favorite films, mm-hmm. and therefore many of the films on this official top 50 list are partly your doing.
And my thank fault. You for doing that and helping to pull us out of our tailspin.
Yes.
Oh, anytime. Absolutely. Everybody gets one.
That still might be the best Family Guy joke.
The Spider-Man?
Yeah.
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 Ah, right.
You know.
Maybe.
Sorry, I don't mean to presume.
It's okay.
Yeah, I remember Family Guy when in 1999 when people really liked
Spider-Man
it.
Spider-Man joke?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to blow my nose on Mike. That would be bad. Okay, I have a little bit of a cold.
Oh, boy.
It's okay.
So I apologize for the nasal sounding of my voice.
You sound great.
It's not COVID. I tested twice.
All right. We didn't think it was. Well, relax. Greg, sit down.
Well, I just...
Oh, no.
Be sure in this day.
Oh, no. He's spacing.
He's hurling things around the room.
With these people. And they're...
Oh, God. Oh, he's throwing a Kleenex box at the mic. What a strange thing. Anyway.
Sorry. I just... These people and their denials of COVID. COVIDiots is COVID, more like
COVID-iots,
it.
COVIDiots is what we call them. We are here to talk about number 39 on our list.
39?
Yeah.
Too high. Or too low.
Wait, yeah, what do you mean?
Too low.
Too low.
Yeah.
This is Annihilation from 2018. This was on 5 of 20 lists, and it earned 47 points. The highest rank was number 4, our friend Nick. And it was written and directed by Alex Garland. Mm-hmm. And Greg, this is one of the rare times where the Letterboxd description and the IMDb description are the exact same. So I already said it at the top, but just in case you want to hear it again, a biologist signs up for a dangerous secret expedition into a mysterious zone where the laws of nature don't apply.
You didn't have to do that.
I did it.
All right.
But yes, Annihilation. We are going to talk about this movie. I believe this is only the second time I've watched it.
Me too.
I watched it when it came out in theaters, and then I just rewatched it yesterday for the purposes of this to talk about it. And Nick, what about yourself? What was your relationship with this film? Did you see it in theaters?
I really wanted to, but it was just one of those weird times where I was too busy to make it out to a cinema. I don't know what you mean.
I will always make time for this.
It comes and
I
goes.
I saw Argyle a few days ago. Yeah,
that was your mistake.
That's how much I like the movies.
But yeah, so I was really bummed to miss it in the cinema. But then when it came out on video, I demanded Natasha watch it with me. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't remember until halfway through that it was a horror movie. And I was like, yes! And then I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Natasha. But
Natasha,
yeah,
by the way, past and future guests.
That's right. Past and future.
You're wondering if there's a relation to that Natasha.
Mm-hmm. From our Her episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And for future ones.
Oh.
No spoilies.
No spoilies.
No spoilies. But yeah, since then, I mean, I grabbed it on Blu-ray and I've watched it at least a dozen times.
Wow.
I've read the book.
I
read the whole trilogy.
I've read the book, yeah. Yeah. Greg, I presume you have not read the book because I know you hate books.
Oh.
I do, notoriously.
Those ones in your living room are all for show.
Yeah, they are. They are, yeah.
They're actually all movies. If you pull them out, it's actually just hollow and there's a DVD in there.
This is an Atlas Shrugged. Yeah. Oh. Atlas Shrugged, the film adaptation.
But the thing is, I am the kind of guy who, yes, that's that. If I were to read a book, it would probably be some shit like that. Because it's like, no, I like reading hard things. I like reading Moby Dick. Mm. I like reading fucking Lord of the Rings. I like reading The Silmarillion.
That's like the one exception to Greg's no book rule is you'll read everything about Lord of the Rings.
I like reading Dune.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, I'm there with you.
Like, this is not a particularly exciting read, Dune.
It's a little dry.
It's a lot about ecology. Which I find endlessly fascinating. The world building in that novel just...
Yeah.
Chef's kiss. Anyway, that is a long route to say that. No, I have not read this trilogy of novels. However, roommate and avid reader Camille has.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I was almost going to be like, maybe you should sit in for me on this one, Camille, because I'm not feeling great. But she won't return my calls. So.
Oh, no.
Your roommate won't return your call.
Well, she keeps saying, why do you call me? I live downstairs. Just knock on my door.
Just come say hello.
Just say hi.
Knock on my door.
Or text me, you freak.
So the novel, from my understanding, and Nick, you may be able to shine some light on this, but the novel, to my understanding, was still in the being, or was just finished when Garland optioned the rights and decided to just use kind of the spirit of the book to create his own take on the story. And from my understanding, the book is quite a bit different than the movie, as well as obviously this movie was not intended to be the first of a trilogy, whereas the book was. And like more stuff, I guess, is explained about like the shimmer and whatnot in subsequent novels. But yeah, the movie is a standalone, and I think it's better for it. Mm-hmm. Again, not knowing where the trilogy goes, I just think it works really well as a standalone. And if they announced Annihilation 2 or whatever the second book is called, I would be like, no, not necessary.
No, it's really smart. It's almost like Garland knew he was making a flop.
Nobody knows they're making a flop. The greatest flop. It's such a good flop.
I think this is an excellent film. I think it's great. When I was watching this movie today, this morning, I was just like, every movie needs colors, children. just use colors. Like all of these, it just made me think of like all of these terrible Netflix movies that are just horribly
just
lit.
Just gray.
Just.
I'm not just talking about The Gray Man.
No, it's you got to use.
A movie I have not seen.
You got to use color in your movies.
Yeah.
Sometimes all of them, which is what this movie does.
The whole rainbow?
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a prism, things get refracted, and it's part of the story.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's really cool.
The movie's cool. It's the shimmer's cool. I love the idea of time dilation. Time dilation's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Where I come from.
Where do you come from?
The Underverse. Oh. Thank you for asking.
Oh, I thought it was Ottawa. Sorry. Ontario.
No, yeah, one of those fat cats from Ottawa.
Time has no meaning there.
That's right. That's right.
Has Garland made a hit? Like, has...
Machina. Ex Machina.
Is Machina his biggest hit? But
it's
even
a total sleeper hit, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. A little movie that could, yeah. Which gave him the right
which
to make
this
movie.
Which is why he basically got to make this movie. Yeah.
And I think the thing I love about his adaptation... I think he did it the best way, almost, maybe, is he just read the book once and he was like, all right, that's enough of that. I'm just going to make a movie that made me feel the way that book made me feel. And he didn't really care about the details or...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I think he captured that perfectly. Mm-hmm. So vast differences between the book and the film, but both made me feel the same way. There's a curiosity. There's a horror. You don't know how far down the rabbit hole you're going to go. You don't really know what happened, but it was, yeah. Really yeah. satisfying.
Well, definitely don't go down the hole.
Don't go down the hole. Don't.
That's how she was able to stop it.
Well, the hole in the lighthouse?
Yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't go down there.
Probably shouldn't, yeah. But to defeat it, you'll need to eventually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can't stop at the hole.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you could just set the lighthouse on fire.
Well, I don't think so.
You have to set your weird shiny clone on fire.
Yeah. I
see. Okay. Well, shiny clone doesn't come out.
Teach your silent clone to set themselves on fire. That's because right. It's all about self-destruction.
Self-destruction.
And how humans are self-destructive by nature. And these aliens are not. They expand and grow and just take over. And so by her teaching, hey, here's how we do it as humans, we cut ourselves. We, do drugs and alcohol, et cetera, et cetera. And we also hold this little phosphorus grenade in our hand and light it. And he's like, okay, I'll try it. Oh, no, I'm dead now.
I thought she pulled the pin. I thought real Portman pulled the pin.
She does
pull
the pin.
Real does pull the pin.
But I do think it's, I mean, just like the themes of the film, I think, very much point towards this idea of self-destruction. I do think it's like, it's her like realizing it's mimicking her, right? And then just starts like doing things so that it will also do it. And then, yes, she pulls the pin because the thing doesn't know what it is. So you can't just be like, now you pull light, now you do it. So she had to do the act, but it was teaching it to like hold it close to itself and let it take itself over. I don't know. I think there's something really interesting in the self-destructive qualities of this, of human nature that are within the themes of the film.
Yeah. It's, the whole movie is just a wonderful science fiction piece in, mm-hmm. in that regard. I do love that the shimmer is cancer.
Yep.
And that it is that, like, just like how the self-destruction is crumbed in through the whole adventure, the cancer is crumbed in from the very beginning. And that's how this thing operates mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. It mutates mm-hmm. like cancer.
Yep.
It spreads like a cancer. And we don't fully understand it.
Yeah.
Like cancer. Like what does cancer really do? Cancer doesn't really kill, it changes.
Yeah.
Changes what
and like duplicates or its cells or whatever,
yeah.
right? And like
duplicates yeah. its cells, it feeds on its host, it like it does something to it. We feel it as it's killing us.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's doing to us, but that's not what it's really out for. Like they say in this movie, like I'm not sure it knows. I don't think it does want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like it doesn't want. It doesn't have that feeling. It doesn't
it's
know what
just
that
acting
is.
How it acts.
Yeah.
And that's what causes the growth of the tumor, as it were.
Yeah. So a very fun movie that allows for
yes
allows
barrel
to
of
be
laughs.
To be just like picked apart like yep. like all great sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy that it's on this list because I honestly forgot all about it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those movies that just flew under the radar for so long. One of those classic undiscovered gems, which I just love sharing with people.
Yeah,
and I mean, there's this thing to it. I think it was Paramount. Paramount had distribution rights, but also so did Netflix.
Oh,
Netflix had distribution rights. I think it's either worldwide or in America, right? So
yeah,
it was.
I remember reading about that.
It was a Netflix original for a while, and now I don't even know what country you have to be in to see the little N.
And I mean, I think that is, yeah, so it was released theatrically February 2018, and then digitally on Netflix March 2018. So, like, it is one of those things that we're seeing a lot now
yeah.
that wasn't really a thing at this time of, like, how do you make sure your movie doesn't make any money? Release it digitally very early.
And you'll see... You see the amount of money it makes is like $50 million and it cost $45 or $50 million. So this is yeah. a big thud.
A big bum.
Yeah.
Big old bum.
The word of mouth on it I felt was really good.
Of course. It's a good movie.
So it's just promotion pure and simple that kind of destroyed it.
It's
people
it's
didn't know
that,
what to think
and
about.
And I think
it.
Again, I think it's like people were like, oh, that sounds great. I'll watch it when it comes on Netflix.
Ah.
You know, like it's that attitude. And that's like I said, that's what we're seeing now a lot, especially with a lot of Disney shit, right? Like Disney's like, why aren't our movies doing well in the theaters anymore? It's like, you've created this model where people know you're just going to throw it on Disney Plus in a few months. And so they're like, people who aren't freaks like me and Greg who love the cinema, are just like, I'd rather stay home and watch it on my dumb TV, which I hate.
Yeah, but, your TV is dumb.
Yeah. Your TV, everyone's TV is dumb.
Yeah. I have the dumbest smart TV in the universe.
Yeah. My Roku tries hard, but he can't. He just can't.
Just can't figure it out.
No.
Very stupid.
But yeah, Garland, of course, because this was his movie after Ex Machina, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then he does Men next?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh
which
man.
Another big old bomb.
oh, yeah. Yeah. That one I fully understand.
Yeah. yeah, that one was a bit harder for me to...
Would love to talk about that one
to
one day, but...
forgive, as it were, watching it. I was like... Huh, this is what you thought would get you back into people's good graces, huh, my dude?
Maybe he didn't, and he was just like, A24 is going to give me money.
It's like, this is what I want to make. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
And they're going to keep giving me money, so I guess I'm going to make Civil War?
Yeah, what a strange one.
Yeah,
that's coming out this year, right?
Yeah, it's coming out in April.
Cool.
April 12th. What a good time to do that. You fuck. I know that's the point, but also fuck off. Yeah. Have you seen that trailer?
I haven't watched
it. It is a nightmare.
It is a straight up nightmare. Yeah. See, I can handle Annihilation and Screaming Bears, but like that kind of stuff is just like, it's too real.
No, that could that'll happen. Yeah, that might happen at the end of this year.
Yeah.
Wow. So he could make 6 months of bank before it all goes to hell.
So much bank. So much bank. Or it'll be like Contagion.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
When Contagion came out during the pandemic, and people are just like, oh, maybe we should take this seriously because of this movie.
Or people think it's a sequel to Captain America Civil War. Think it's like
that is
part of a shared universe.
When I saw the title.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
they dropped
this,
Captain America because he's dead.
It's Mary Jane. She's back from the Tobyverse. And,
that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 And she's brought Jesse Plemons with her.
Yeah.
They do everything together.
I guess.
Oh, yeah. They do.
Hollywood power couple. I mean, wouldn't you want to work with the person that you love?
I do.
Sure. Yeah.
You do.
Nick does.
Look at that. Isn't that cute?
But other Garland, I mean, there's like that he didn't direct because
the
X
Boyle collabs
was the first. Mm-hmm.
The Boyle collabs, the Danny Boyles.
Oh, I thought that was the name of a movie, and I was like, I have never heard of the Boyle collapse.
Yeah, it was based on a Robert Ludlum series.
It would totally be a Ludlum. Yeah, the Matarese countdown.
The Boyle collapse.
The Osterman weekend. The Boyle collapse.
But yeah, the Beach and 28 Days Later. Are those the only two?
Sunshine,
of course.
Did Garland do that one as well?
Yeah.
This dude's fucking wow.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think he's a really great writer of sci-fi. And he's proven he can be a good director with his films.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
So far, 2 out of 3, pretty good.
I've never seen Men, so I might like it.
Oh, yeah, it's
like
it's a wild trip.
It's a trip, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna rewatch it and probably like it more.
Yeah, I think that's how I feel too. But also, I don't know. I feel like it was, I don't know how to describe it, but it was like a little too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
If you know what I mean, where I'm like,
it's a lot.
The great thing about like doing like a satire or like a commentary on social mores is like subtlety. When you're not being subtle with it, then it just becomes kind of annoying, if that makes sense.
Right, but there's a lot of dum-dums out there.
There are a lot of dum-dums out there.
Who don't know what
satire. But those dum-dums won't be swayed by this. They won't be like, oh, men are problematic in the world. They'll be like, this is dumb. I'm not like that. Punch.
Oh, so it's kind of like, who is this for?
Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of how I felt. Which is a shame because I also love Jessie Buckley. I think she's wonderful.
She's really good.
Yeah, I mean, really good actor.
Yeah,
can't think of something I've seen her in that I don't like.
Yeah,
at least her in
like
her part.
Her yeah
yeah.
She's in something recently that looked good.
I mean, she's in Women Talking, isn't she?
She's maybe in I haven't seen
Men.
It.
And she's in Women Talking.
Wait a minute.
And she's in, yeah.
She's trying to run the gamut on.
She's in Chernobyl.
Oh,
okay.
I
one of the great
show.
Sleeping pill shows of all time.
Oh my God. So good.
Do you ever just like turn on Chernobyl and curl up and take a nap?
I've heard people describe it as a comfort show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I fall asleep to that show constantly.
In a sweat soaked sheets.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, it's just like, it's so droney. And
gotcha.
Gray,
right? Yeah,
and Soviet.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm just like, yes, wash over me, bureaucracy paralyzed.
And then you've got Jared Harris just talking. And
And he's
doing his thing. Yeah. You want him to tuck you in at night.
Absolutely, I do. Sure. And it's like hearing his voice is like hearing a storybook being read to me.
His flesh is peeling from his bones. Yes, Dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the cow jumped over the moon.
It was a weird ending for Chernobyl, but I get it.
Yeah.
Get it.
Chernobyl's great, is what I'm trying to say. And she's really good in it.
Mm-hmm. I'll watch it one day.
You should watch it. I think you'll have a lot of bummer time.
Yeah.
Bummer time?
A lot of bummer time.
Yeah.
You'll
just watched Silo.
It's bummer time after you watched it.
Silo's a lot more fun than Chernobyl.
Okay. And that one's kind of a bummer.
It is. It's a bit of a bummer, but you know. It's a silo.
It's what are they going to do? How are they going to get out of that silo?
Well, turns out.
You can tell us?
We love Becky Fergs here. That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
that's,
hell yeah.
That's the only reason I watched it, really.
Me too.
Yeah, because I'm like, I got to support my girl.
Yeah. And then Common shows up and almost ruins the whole series. acting's hard, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mm. And he's not good at
it. Not very good.
Speaking of.
Who's good?
Tell me. I think we were on the same wavelength there. We were gonna pivot. Go for it.
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman's great.
I think she's really good.
Yeah. A very, very interesting actor to watch almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was obviously like, this is her first appearance on our list here.
That's right.
Maybe her last.
Maybe.
Who
no spoilies.
Knows? No way to know.
No way to know. No way to find
unless
out.
Unless you listen.
Well, yeah.
That's right. That's how we hook them.
And just remember, Star Wars Episode 1 didn't come out in the 2010s.
So, no, it didn't.
So that one is not available.
What about Episode 3?
Hmm? It didn't.
Nope.
So she's actually, like, I think she's actually pretty good in Episode 1.
I mean, she does exactly what she needs to be doing in that movie.
She does her job. She went to work that day.
She wears the stuff. She says the lines as much as George Lucas told her to.
I will not condone an action that leads to war.
Well, she will not condone a course of action that will lead us to war. She says it with an accent.
Well, I don't have
that
one.
Movie.
Right.
And only that movie.
Wait, does she only do the accent when she's in the white face makeup?
Yes,
I think so. I think
it's part of the whole thing.
The whole ruse.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the ruse.
Yeah.
I think when you're elected queen of Naboo, you have to put on. That's the thing. Sheev Palpatine's accent is a put on.
That's right.
Because he's a senator. He was elected.
Right.
And he goes to the Galactic Senate. And delegates of the Senate, a tragedy has occurred.
Yeah, that's all fake. His real voice is, no, no,
you will die.
But that's only after he got like.
No, that was his real voice.
That was his real voice?
Yeah. Before
he was born
he gets
speaking
mashed.
Like that? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to grow up to be a senator. Not sounding
he
like
does,
that.
Like healthy. He does have the line, "I am the Senate."
Yeah,
I right. Went before he's disfigured.
So that's his real voice.
That's right. That's
his,
right.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm remember, sold. He has a different voice when he's wearing the shroud.
That's right.
As Darth Sidious.
As Darth
I will
Sidious.
Make
that's
it
right.
legal. I want that treaty signed. What an icon!
Yeah. Oh, Sheev.
Sheev Palpy.
Palpatine.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
That's true.
Maybe the worst line Oscar Isaac has ever had to deliver.
He's good in this movie.
He is.
Very good in this movie.
Segue.
We should talk a little bit about Portman's career, though.
Sure.
Up to and including this movie. She's in one of my favorite movies of all time. She's in Heat as a child actor.
She sure is.
Yeah. Is that after The Professional?
It is. Yep.
Okay.
She's in Leon the Professional.
I think it's right before. Right, Professional's 94.
Yeah.
And then Heat's 95.
Heat's 95.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God.
So she's either doing it at the Big same year. Time or it's immediately after.
I mean, Heat's a smaller role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she
right?
probably
so
filmed
she
that
probably
quick.
Could have filmed that quick, but yeah. But yeah, I feel like that era of her, you know, she becomes kind
child
of
star?
A known child star because of Leon, I'd say, right?
Yep.
And then I don't know if she pops up too much after Heat, but definitely like Star Wars is what makes her a name.
Well, yeah, you got to remember like 1995 and then Star Wars starts filming in 97.
That's true. Yeah,
oh,
that's crazy.
My God. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But then she does those movies for a while. She does Garden State, of course.
Yeah.
Who can forget bleep, her bleep, doing bleep, bleep, something bleep, bleep. That no one's ever done. Yeah.
Very bad movie.
She changes Zach Braff's life by making him listen to a Shin song.
But when it came out, everyone was like, "Is this the best movie ever made?"
Yeah,
like
yeah.
it just—it's
true.
You know,
it was that era
well.
Of filmmaking.
Yeah.
What
slash
year did
the
that
country
come
was
out?
Healing? That's 2004.
Yeah, so the country's healing.
The
yes,
country's healing, and everyone's like, "We want just to feel nice about things."
Yeah.
Oh, a sad white man who's sad about his life
How
because
novel.
He's an actor. Is that what he said? I don't know. He's going home to New Jersey, and he's still
like,
sad.
I feel like we got to throw all the movies like that into the Garden State bucket. Because there's so many of them.
Yeah, well, there's Elizabethtown the year right after.
Garden State bucket.
Yeah.
I'm labeling it now. It's
the Garden State bucket.
It's the Garden State bucket, and it's not really something that you can, like, Well, you can describe it. It's a sad white guy.
Yeah.
It's a sad white guy movies.
Yeah.
A lot of the Joe Swanberg movies.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you could call Garden State like proto-mumblecore?
Kind
of. In a way, it looks better than any of those movies.
Mm. Like, yeah.
It's I'm not going to take away the actual filmmaking of Garden State.
Mumblecore looked at Garden State was like, what if we did that, but like boring?
Yeah. With like no less camera joke. Setups. Yeah, yeah.
No whimsical sets.
Or soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just give everyone just a screenwriting credit.
Yeah, they're just in a house talking. How about that? How's that sound?
And then one day someone will move. Yeah. And everybody, that'll be the thing. We rent a moving truck and people help this guy move.
Yeah.
And that's our dynamic.
That's the climax.
The that's the good stuff right there.
Yeah, sounds great. But yeah, she does Garden State. I'm just going to pull up her filmography here because she does have an interesting career.
She does.
Because not too long after that, she does do Black Swan,
of course. Black Swan.
Oh, yeah.
Which gets her Oscar.
I can't think of any other Natalie Portman movie.
It's weird when that movie comes out because it almost feels like, I thought the narrative around that was like she's overdue.
Yeah, but it was still pretty early days.
Yeah. Because it's 2008? Is that when Black Swan comes out?
I think it's 2010.
Yeah. Oh, 2010. Okay. It's The Wrestler that's 2008.
That's right. Yeah, so she does...
I say that because those are the two Aronofsky movies I like.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's...
Other than Noah.
That's correct. Well, okay, well, now you're losing me, but...
Yeah.
I like Noah.
I know you do.
Noah's weird, and I like it.
It is weird. I respect it more than Mother or The Whale, but... Still don't like his religious trilogy, as it were.
Oh, the whale's junk. I've never seen Mother, but they eat a baby in it. So
they eat a baby.
I feel like I am
not going to spoil this for y'all because you probably don't care. Mother is Mother Earth.
Yes, I did know that.
And Adam and Eve are Ed Harris and the lady
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, the lady. You knew, how did you know that from the lady?
We've been hanging out a while.
That's what I always call Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
No, I just couldn't remember who was in that movie because I did not like it. Anyway, yeah, it's a whole fucking Garden of Eden allegory.
It's a whole thing.
Javier Bardem is God.
And like not just as subtle as men, you would
just
say.
Just like
maybe
I would say
so.
Men, like Mother makes men look like fucking the subtlest movie you've ever seen. Like Mother is, it's got an exclamation point in the title. That's how unsubtle it is. It's screaming it at you. Anyway, she so does Cold Mountain. I didn't know she was in Cold Mountain. I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah. She's got a small role in that. Okay. That's a bad movie.
She does Closer. Yep. In the same year as Garden State.
That's her Oscar nom. That she gets an Oscar.
I think
nom
yeah, I think that's her
really?
first Oscar nom, and so maybe that's why Black Swan when Black Swan comes around, it's like, oh, she's been nominated before, therefore like it's her time. Whereas, you know, it's like, I mean, she's doing fine. V for Vendetta, of course.
Very good though.
Oh yeah, I like
her. She shaved her head.
So brave.
So brave.
So strong.
How can we forget Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium?
I did. I didn't forget that title, though. What a title. Huh.
That's the Gilliam movie, right?
No.
He
what, wishes.
Oh, I'm thinking of Dr. The Wonderful.
The Imaginary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Imaginary.
What's Mr. Magorium's one?
That's the one with Dustin Hoffman as, I believe, let me just check my notes here, Mr. Magorium.
Yeah.
He
runs a toy
and,
shop.
He owns a toy shop. And it's like a magical toy shop. I don't know. I've never
it's like
seen
Willy
it.
Wonka, but it's a toy shop instead okay. of a chocolate factory.
I got severely
apparently Kermit
confused.
The Frog cameos in it.
I should actually say that. It's not a toy shop. It's a Wonder Emporium.
It
if
is,
you don't know what
it
that
is
means.
A Wonder Emporium.
I was thinking of Horatio Huffnagel's, like right when he said that.
The Fabtabulous
Contraption.
Claptraption or whatever. Yeah.
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 I want to read this synopsis here. Hold on. Because... Okay, the young apprentice of a magical, eccentric toy store owner learns to believe in herself and in her friends upon learning some grave news about the future. Oh, no.
What's oh, my God. News? Mr. Magorium.
Mr. Magorium's going to kill everyone.
He's been sent from the future to kill me.
Anyway, the other Boylan girl, she does Brothers. You remember Brothers?
Gyllenhaal?
Toby and Jake.
Yeah.
And their brothers.
Yep.
And she's married to one of them.
Yeah, I can't remember which.
And yeah, I can't remember which, but like one
this
of them
is
angry.
This is a weird period. I don't really watch any of these movies.
Yeah, and then she has Black Swan.
Yep. Everyone's on board.
Everyone's ready and
we're
happy.
We're back.
And then she does one of two rom-coms that came out in 2011.
No strings attached.
I was going to make Nick guess.
Is it No Strings Attached?
It's No Strings Attached. about Fuck Buddies. Anyway.
Yeah.
The other one's
Friends with Benefits.
I was going to say Just Friends, but
yeah.
Friends with Benefits.
We should do those on Patreon.
You know what? We should. We need a third, though. We need to find a third Fuck Buddy movie.
That's right.
Dating. Wait. Have you seen Dating Other People with Allison Brie? And
Sleeping
Jason
with
Davis?
Other People?
Sleeping with Other People.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have seen
Fuck
it a long time ago, though.
It's really good, but I always confuse it with those other two movies.
Well, there you go.
So those three are always confused with each other in my brain. Maybe that's a trilogy.
Kablammo. We did it.
All right, we did it. All right,
the
anyway.
Fuck Buddy trilogy.
She does Your Highness.
Oh, my
God.
Oh,
man. And what a...
Remember that one?
What a movie.
Shows her butt.
I guess.
Oh. That's what I remember from the trailer.
Sure.
Like, literally, that's how they marketed it.
Wow.
Natalie Portman's going to have her butt shown.
Okay.
But it's like in a thong. Like, it's, you know, whatever.
Anyway. Sure.
Oh.
James Franco didn't do anything wrong.
When he made that movie, or
just like in general? No, I think he's a good man and has never done anything wrong.
I don't know. He directed The Sound of the Fury and also played the lead guy in that.
What the heck is The Sound of the Fury?
Oh, it's like a Faulkner.
Oh, really?
Which
one?
I'm clearly
he's
joking.
Made a
by
few.
The way, I think James Franco's a piece of shit.
Oh yeah. So for a while there, he was like adapting William Faulkner's. Books.
I feel like he was
directing
doing a lot.
Them and starring in them.
Yeah,
and they're going right to DVD.
Did he like go
like who's
go
watching these?
To like med school or something at one point too?
I don't know.
I feel like there was an era where James Franco was just like, I'm doing everything, and just like went and had his like finger in so many different pies. Then she does Thor.
Yep,
she's Jane Foster in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
She also does Thor: The Dark World.
She does.
Yeah.
She gets the mist.
It's the ether.
The red mist.
It's the ether.
Right. The ether.
The aether.
The aether.
Which turns out is an infinity gem.
Oh, it's the reality stone.
Oh, shit. Oh, no. They really retconned that shit.
Part of Thanos' big day.
Yeah, it's true. what else? Let's see. Jackie, she gets her another Oscar nom for that.
Yeah, nobody saw Jackie.
Yeah.
I saw snippets of it, and I was like, I can't get past that accent she's doing.
Then she does Annihilation, the movie we're talking about.
Yeah.
And since then, she hasn't done much. She did,
Volvox. No.
Vox Lux.
Vox Lux.
It was the same year. It was the same year as Annihilation.
Really?
And she's in the new Thor movie. And
oh,
then
man.
She just did May December.
Oh yeah.
But that's pretty much it since this movie. So that's kinda wild actually.
She's very good in May December, a movie I don't like.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I feel similarly, however, I feel like I do need to rewatch that movie because I was definitely watching it while not paying attention and writing trivia shit. So
right.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not, the stuff that I did see, I wasn't like, ooh, like I should put this down and watch this because I'm so engaged. I was just kind of like, huh, interesting.
I don't think it's worth another watch.
Yeah. What else am I doing?
I don't know. What else are you doing? You got stuff going on?
Not really.
Okay. Well, then watch May December again. I don't think you'll like it.
All right. But yeah, I feel like this movie might be my favorite Portman.
Whoa.
It's a really excellent performance.
Yeah.
And she's such an interesting movie star. And
like Black Swan's maybe the more obvious answer, and I do think she's really good in that.
You don't have to like Black Swan.
All right.
You don't have to.
I know I don't.
It's
but I do.
It's a fine film.
I think it's fine.
But I think this one's better.
No question for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this one's better for sure.
She's a very interesting performance in this movie. And, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, if you weren't on her side before, and you still aren't after this movie, nothing's going to get you on her side. She's just really electric in this movie. And it makes me think of Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
Just the, like, a lot of this movie is similar in tone and
yeah.
into Arrival, except there's, like, you know, this movie's a horror movie. So,
oh, hell yeah.
And Arrival is a movie about discovery.
Mm. That's true.
So I'm,
and communication.
And, yes.
Yeah.
And writing in ink.
And love.
Yes, the power of it.
And cow farts. We're talking about the Charlie Sheen, The Arrival, right?
Absolutely.
Is that movie about cow farts?
Well, cow farts and methane in the atmosphere definitely plays a part in the plot.
I forgot about that movie, but I saw it. I, like, vividly remember seeing it with my dad in Lethbridge at the movie mill. Not knowing who Charlie Sheen was at the time.
Wow, your first Charlie Sheen movie.
Well, I think I'd probably seen him in other things, but in this one, he's got like glasses and a goatee. So as a kid, I'm like, that's a different person.
Yeah. And he
much like when my dad
so,
first showed up without his mustache, I'm like, this is a different man. Who are you, sir?
Where's my dad?
Where's my dad? My dad has a mustache. You're not my dad. Anyway, but I remember seeing that movie and really liking it. And I haven't rewatched it.
I saw it on a double bill drive-in, Independence Day, followed by The Arrival.
Amazing.
And I was like 13. I was like, you know what? I think The Arrival's a better film.
All I really remember about it now is that, he's basically a crazed, like, aliens are here. Like, we got to stop the aliens. They're here already. And everyone's like, you're crazy. And then there's a vivid memory of, like, near the end of the movie, a character that we believe is a real human, like their legs go
yes,
and like go back
legs
because that's like the thing about the aliens, and it like walks away, and it's like, oh no, that guy was an alien. Anyway, spoilers for The Arrival.
That's nuts.
Yeah,
that's nuts. I've never seen it.
We should watch it.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
It probably is.
Yeah, I don't know how well it held up. I just want to keep it as this precious memory. You know?
Yeah,
don't want to ruin it.
So, Portman.
Yes.
Great, obviously.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac is great. This is not his movie, and I really like how small his role is in this. It's it's one of those like keystone roles where you do need a guy. You need somebody.
Yeah. He's kind of the catalyst for, you know, obviously for her to go in.
And this movie spends so little time in her normal life.
Mm-hmm.
It just does exactly what you need to know about her and then whisks her off on this adventure.
Yeah.
She's a professor. Her students are attentive. She has a thing with this other professor who is trying to invite her to a barbecue, but he's holding her arm in a way that suggests there's something more there.
Mm.
And I don't like that. And he says, it's been a year. And then we see her painting a bedroom and crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all we need to know because guess what? The movie's going to be about grief too.
Yeah.
So fuck.
Oh no, is it about grief?
Yeah.
This movie's not about grief.
Guess what?
No way.
I'm so sorry
no.
to let you know that this movie is about, as much as it's about self-destruction, it's about grief. How that can lead us to self-destruction.
Maybe guilt? Get some guilt there?
I
guilt
think
over grief?
There might be a little pinch of guilt, too.
That's all I ask, is that we mix it up a bit.
Yeah.
There's different flavors of grief.
What I think is really interesting is the group of the five women that go into the Shimmer all have different like reasons for being in there, and also like specific backstories that tie into this idea of not only self-destruction but grief. And you know, so like if we run through them, we got Jennifer Jason Leigh.
A real Ninja Turtles team.
Well, Ninja Turtles, the next mutation, which includes the fifth turtle, Venus.
I was talking about Splinter. I thought,
no, that's not a turtle. He's not
Ventress
a turtle, Greg.
He's
a rat.
I was thinking Ventress was Splinter.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
But I also hate that there's the next mutation, and I think Venus is terrible.
I know.
We all do, because they couldn't even give her a new color. They just gave her light blue.
Also,
her
Venus
name
is the work of art, not of the artist.
That's the thing. They couldn't just pick an actual
Frida?
Like,
Frida.
Artist.
Just say Frida.
Just say, call her Frida. Anyway.
Maniacs.
But Jennifer Jason Leigh, Dr. Ventress, she's the one who has cancer. And so her kind of, like, obviously she's trying to figure out what the hell is up with this Shimmer. How do we get rid of it? everyone who's gone in there has not come back. So she's like, well, I'm going to go in myself because I have nothing to live for. I'm going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well go see if I can figure it out because I'm a scientist and we want to do a scientist expedition rather than a military expedition.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, the most inscrutable character in the movie.
Yeah.
I would argue.
Yeah. And perfect in that performance.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can sense there's so much behind it, but she's so in control.
And we're not getting any of it.
Nothing.
No.
You think that maybe by the end of the movie we'd get something? No.
No. She just light out of her mouth.
She just mic drops the title of the movie.
Yes.
And explodes. Yes.
That's how I want to go, man.
And then you also have Tessa Thompson, who... she's the one who cuts herself, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's self-harm.
Josie.
Josie, yeah. And she has the best ending, arguably,
oh, yeah.
of her character, right?
Love
she kind of, like, just lets go and, like, accepts that she is going to be a flower lady now
yep.
and becomes a flower lady. And that's, it's kind of beautiful.
That's all that happens.
Yeah.
And I have to say that this is a Tessa Thompson in a mode that I really like. And I wish she would do this more often.
Ditto.
Because the mode that she's in these days is boring me.
Totally.
It's starting to bore me.
Yeah.
The specific one that I'm talking about is her
Valkyrie.
And Westworld
oh,
modes.
Sure. Yeah. And is she in the first season of Westworld?
She's in seasons 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, so I don't know who she is mm-hmm. then.
She's like the main
I've
villain.
I've only watched the first season.
Yeah.
That's all you need to watch,
yeah,
friend.
That's how I feel. I'm like, you know what? That was a nice...
She might
mini-series.
Actually be the last three or four episodes, the last three episodes of the first season.
Okay.
But like her character, like all the other characters in that show are like, I'm a robot now, but I'm not. I'm a different robot.
Oh, no, a shocking new twist in this episode of Westworld. Someone's a robot.
My marble just got put into another body. Weird.
Yes.
But she's in a mode these days that's like kind of like a movie star mode, and I don't really like it. I think she's got more range than that. This movie clearly shows that she does.
For sure.
And I think it's just a lovely supporting performance, and it's great.
Yeah, she was in Men in Black International.
And she's terrible
she's
in
bad.
It.
That movie sucks so
she's
bad.
She's also in the Creed movies. You're a fan of those. I haven't seen them.
I am a fan of those. She is given less and less to do in each movie, and it's a bummer.
That's too bad.
Whoa.
Anyway, but yeah, she, so that, you know, I like the idea that, you know, her backstory is, yeah, like a self-harm, and then she realizes there's beauty in the world, and she, like, gives herself to that rather than succumbing to self-destruction.
Yeah, she sees a plastic bag caught in an updraft.
She sure does. There's so much beauty in this
world.
I
had to.
I just can't stand it.
I had to. I'm so sorry.
Hey, it was good. And we got Gina Rodriguez as Anya. And she's the one who's got a drug past, right? She's mm-hmm. used to do drugs, alcohol,
drugs and alcohol. Yeah. This is the performance that I think comes closest to being bad, in my mind. But then I'm like, then I see what she's doing, where it's leading.
Yeah.
With the final thing of like tying up everybody, and I'm just like, oh no, she's nailing this. She's
absolutely
she's nailing.
She becomes manic, and like, you know, they mentioned before, especially with that video we see of Oscar Isaac and snake mm-hmm. intestines, that like the prism, the shimmer is like driving people insane,
mm-hmm.
which like makes sense, right? You're basically your DNA is being combined with everything else.
Scrambled,
plants,
rewritten,
refracted.
Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like people are losing their minds. And we don't really see that from our group of women until Anya, when she's like, my fingerprints are moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And
she's so likable at the start.
Yeah.
So like, come on,
I love her.
Hang out with
us. She's
great. And it's super cute. And to see her go into that really aggressive, scary mode, like that shift is really
scary.
And
she thinks that Natalie Portman killed the other lady.
Shepherd.
Yeah, Shepherd.
And so that's why she kind of ties them up and is like, I'm going to kill you. But then, of course, interrupted by our friend the Scream Bear.
Scream
which we'll get
Bear.
To. But I just want to finish the roundup of the characters because, yeah, we have Shepherd played by Tuva Novotny, an actress I don't really know that well. She's Swedish.
All right.
But she's the one who is like, hers is the saddest story, arguably, because A, she's going into this because she's dealing with grief. She's dealing with the loss of her daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like looking for meaning or like something. And like, she's like, the world is fucked up. Like, why did this happen? And like, so maybe there's something in this shimmer that will like give meaning to my life. And no, it's a bear that's going to maul your face. And then basically absorb your mind into it. And now you're also the bear.
Yeah.
And you're going to scream, help me, as you wander the woods.
I mean, that's such an incredible, like,
it's one of the scariest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, the predator opens its mouth and your friend screams for help. And it works. You see it. And, like, Anya gets the most gruesome death.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's, like, I mean, this word gets overused a lot, but this movie is hardcore. It doesn't shy away. And sometimes when I'm like, you get this class of people working on a horror film, sometimes they kind of dumb it down. It's like, oh, no, this is a prestigious affair. This one does not shy away.
No.
It goes for it.
Oh, yeah. And I love it for it.
And I mean, that the Scream Bear is so metal.
Mm. Absolutely.
I mean, it's... Scream Bear is a hell of a metal name.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some metal band out there who has a track called Scream Bear, either before or after this movie, in homage.
And it just starts with, help me.
Yeah. But yeah, and what I found interesting this watch as well is that when I first saw it, I was just like, oh, terrifying Scream Bear is going to kill all these people because it's a bear. But this time around, I felt like it was partly Shepard looking for its friends.
Oh.
And that's what I found really interesting is that it was like, it's partly her and partly the bear. Like, it's not that just that it took her voice. It's that, like, her kind of consciousness is refracted into this bear when he killed her. Because you see her throat stripped out. So, like, you know, there's the argument that it took her voice. But I also like the idea that because like it's not very aggressive to the tied up women, right?
No, it's not.
It's kind of nuzzling them, and it like bites one at one point. But again,
it's
like that's
holding
just,
the shoulder.
Yeah, that's just like the bear like mentality. Like, you know, how else will I like say hello to my friend? Or
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, there's something really interesting with that, and you know, obviously, then they open fire on it, and so it tries to kill them
because that's what they do every time.
Yeah,
guns.
Mm.
That's what happens.
That's the self-destructive nature of man.
Yeah. Yeah. We send...
By killing each other, we're killing ourselves.
Yeah. We send the guns into the hole.
That's right. But yeah. So, man, we have the finale with the doppelganger.
The lighthouse.
Lighthouse.
Whenever you are asked, would you like to go to the lighthouse?
Say yes,
say
please,
no.
Sir. Man. Oh, sorry.
Say
not
no,
your drift there. Say no.
No, not today.
What if you're a wiki?
Mm-hmm.
And
what?
A wiki?
You're a wiki.
What's a wiki? Oh, a wiki. Of course. Of course. Then you have to stay out of the lighthouse
because
that light is not yours.
It's not yours. You can't have it.
It's my light. I get to fuck that lighthouse.
You're fond of me, lobster.
Surely you like me lost.
But yeah, we get to the lighthouse. We basically see kind of some, you know, what I like about the movie is that it's not overt with any explanations, obviously. Like, it's very mysterious,
mm-hmm.
but there's enough seeds there to like get a general idea of what's going on. And, you know, obviously I think the idea is this meteor crashed at this lighthouse. And it was this alien ship of some kind. Ship is maybe not the right word, but just an alien structure that basically is this kind of like growing mimicry prism thing. And that's, you know, so it started growing from the lighthouse and it's just been absorbing and refracting and mimicking everything. And we see that firsthand with this doppelganger creature. Because I guess you could argue that maybe Oscar Isaac was the first human to go to the lighthouse.
Mm.
And that's why he gets a little doppelganger. Mm. And then Jennifer Jason Leigh's character is the second one. Natalie Portman's. So there's only been three people that have gone to lighthouse. That's why we don't have like many doppelgangers already like invading the world or whatever.
Right. And most people kind of like kill themselves and go crazy before they get to that point.
Exactly. But But it's really interesting to see this, like, basically silent ballet of this doppelganger and Portman's character. And
it's, you know, really upsetting.
It's really upsetting.
And beautiful.
And it's beautiful. My and it's also combo. Just, like, fascinating because I'm like, what is its goal? Right? Because that's just, like, the nature of, like, when watching a movie, you see ostensibly a character. And you're like, what is its wants? What is its needs? And like Greg, you said earlier, like, it doesn't really have those. It's just doing what comes naturally, which in this case is mimicry, right? And it's mimicking Natalie Portman. Like the part where she runs to the door and it like kind of like runs and like stops her or whatever. You're like, oh, it's like trying to stop her from escaping. But then you think and you're like, well, no, it's just doing what she did.
Yeah.
But just to her instead of the door. Whoops. And then, yeah, it's just this whole dance that, you know, again, ends with her basically being able to teach it to kill itself.
Yeah. I'm always on the lookout for a way to end a story that isn't a fight, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I saw this happen, because it's always easy to just be like, they have a shootout or they have a punch out on the roof and there's an explosion and they go.
Mm-hmm.
But to see this kind of play out in a dance in such a quiet, kind of unsettling, horrifying way was just such a thrill because you don't get to see that very often.
Yeah, usually it's like, you know, I'm a powerful being, and then oh no, another powerful being that's also has the same powers as me but evil.
Yeah.
Punch.
I'm just gonna try harder.
Yeah.
This time than I did last time, and I'm gonna win.
Yeah.
Or they blow it out an airlock.
Well,
that too.
Those are the options. Those are the options.
That's it. But the end of the movie is her, I mean, we've already seen her being interrogated. We already know that she escapes, right? I feel like I remember watching this and there was a lot of theories about like, oh, it's not actually her, it's the doppelganger, but I don't think that's the case.
I think, no, there was no switcheroo.
Yeah, I think it's pretty, because like there's parts where she blacks out during the fight, but then the creature is still in this amorphous blob.
Mm, yeah.
So like, I don't know, it's very far-fetched for me to be like, oh, she actually was the one who died and the doppelganger escaped.
And you see
I think Oscar Isaac's doppelganger did escape.
Yeah.
Right?
You see the under carriage.
It's because of the shimmer in her eyes at the end, right? Like, yes. That's why people think that. But I think that's just indicating that she has been forever changed by this shimmer and she's kind of the shimmer now in a way. And like, you know, because there's also the thing with her water, right? It's kind of like changes when she drinks from it. So I think it's just this idea that now she's gonna maybe start to shimmer from herself. I don't know. Like, I don't know what it means. Obviously,
they're gonna have a shimmer baby.
It's in me.
It's in her.
You know, like, and it's in all of them. And like anybody who does get out of there, it's in them.
Yeah.
You know, like just because it burned doesn't mean it's gone. If you're alive and you were in there, it's in you.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about the movie is when they wake up. Was when she wakes up and it's been 4 days
in the tent.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, too. That's cool.
That's way back at the beginning of the adventure, but it's like, it is immediate just being like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. That is so great. Thank you for robbing us of time. That's really cool.
And we mentioned it briefly, but the videotape they find as well of the snake body, snake intestines, whatever
you want to call it. Snake intestines.
That's another very upsetting, well-made horror like sequence. Like,
what do you mean?
Like videotape of like horrific things is like, I mean, that's why the found footage genre became so big, right? Like,
yeah,
that's just like always going to be more terrifying than a clear artifice film of horror. When your mind is like, this is reality being filmed, that's always going to like jar and make it more unsettling. And I remember seeing that for the first time and being like, they shouldn't have gone in the shimmer. This is a mistake. It's so scary.
Also, should I be watching this movie?
Yeah.
Is this more than I can handle?
The like big flower guy on the wall. Like,
oh, that's what an incredible crazy piece of design that is.
That image can be seen in other film and TV after that, right? Like, I feel that moment, like people saw that and you do see that pop up in things like Last of Us and whatnot.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, Last of Us is just like, well, why don't we just do
why don't we do that
as our monster?
Totally.
How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Also, Last of Us does have like, I think owes a lot to this movie in its look.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Not like the refraction of it, but just like it's its look of military, its depiction of green, its depiction of
the kind
overgrowth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that scene because you have the four women watching this video of just all these dudes who are like, yeah, we're going to do this thing. And it's just like you're watching these boys who just went a little bit nuts and they're doing boy things. Like, we're just going to cut this guy open. Yeah. Let's see what his guts look like.
Let's cut him open. Yeah. And it's like, no, it's like, it's because they're like, look.
Yeah.
Look, it's weird, right?
It is weird.
This is what's happening to us here.
But then Anya's like, nope, the trigger light, that's it.
Yeah.
Nothing happening. And it's like some people just completely deny what they see. Yep. Others kind of accept it. And I love all of that. The dynamics that happen with those relationships as they move on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shortly after I saw Annihilation, I was rewatching Apocalypse Now. Mm. And I was like, man, I really want, like, it's about a bunch of dudes going up a river. And the further they go, the more they lose their minds.
Right.
And I was like, I would love to see what a version of that looks like with women on a boat, going up a river and losing their minds. And I was like, oh, my God, that is Annihilation.
Annihilation. Yeah.
And that is so cool.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, like, one of the things that Apocalypse Now misses out on is... What is Scream Bear, but also what the each member of the patrol boats, what their deal is.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, like Sheen says it in voiceover, what everyone's deal is, and then they all act like that for the rest. But you don't really get, like, none of the performances are sober enough to really... to really get who these guys are as people.
Right.
Whereas, like, because we spend one evening with this group of women before they go in, like, all of them together, normal, baseline, we get an idea of who they are before this adventure happens. And I think that's extremely advantageous to our trip upriver, as it were. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Apocalypse Now, you're just kind of like, well... I guess, and it's so subjective because it's all just through Willard's eyes.
Totally,
you know, that isn't to say I don't like Apocalypse Now. I think it's a fucking masterpiece, obviously. But I think something that Annihilation learns from Apocalypse Now and improves on is just giving us an idea of who these people are and how they function outside of this insanity.
Yeah,
which is hard in a war movie, but you know.
It's you want to get to the war.
Yeah, you want to get to the war. But even if we, because like the story of Apocalypse Now is so well known and it's such a tortured shoot that you're just like, maybe they had an idea of like he meets them at the dock and you get to interact with them. Maybe he has lunch with them in a scene, but they're just like, no, fuck no. We have to get upriver. We have to start. The Philippines are going to war. We have to move. Yeah. You know, we got to. I don't know. I don't know what goes in the movie. We'll make it up in voiceover. I don't know.
And I mean, is there a shred of a possibility that he'll do another edit of the film that has that scene in it in like 5 years?
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? Because he really went overboard with that redux. Holy moly.
Then there's another one after Redux as well. I don't think I've seen that one.
I haven't either. But it's the one that he fixes the Redux mistakes.
Everybody gets three.
Yeah, everybody gets three, Francis.
I find there's little details about the movie I pick up, too, every time I watch it. So there's like his bear tattoo that Kane has. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was a bear tattoo until maybe the second viewing. And I'm like, okay, so is Kane the bear? What does that mean?
Right.
How do we unpack that? And then there's, so the guy on the, oh yeah. So at one point.
The Ouroboros, right?
Portman's got the Ouroboros, which is total self-destruction, right?
Yep.
The first time that shows up in the movie.
I thought that was a number eight.
Infinitum. is on the wall guy. So the wall guy in the pool has it on his arm.
He has it, and then one of the other ladies
Anya
does, right?
has it eventually. And I'm like, so where did that thing come from? Who had it first?
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter because they're all just melting.
It's all
together.
Melding, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't. I noticed the Ouroboros this time, and again, that kind of just fed into the self-destruction thing because it's a snake eating its tail, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's an Ouroboros.
Yes, I did. I watched season two of Loki.
Oh.
Here to teach.
Hey, you know what? I did too. I thought it was pretty good.
I didn't, actually. All right. I watched the first two episodes and thought it was boring.
All right, never mind.
Pulled the ripcord at the McDonald's.
as seen in Loki.
I'm out of here.
Remember we talked about that and you didn't believe me?
What?
One of our episodes, I brought McDonald's, as I sometimes am wont to do.
Yeah.
And it's had the advertising was like, as seen on Loki.
Uh-huh.
And I was saying, it must be in the new season. And you were like, no, that can't be right.
Why would I say that?
I don't know. You were very antagonistic towards my theory about it being in Loki season two.
That doesn't sound like me.
Well, maybe you're grumpy.
Maybe I was grumpy.
Maybe it was one of your doublebangers.
It was on the sauce packet. It says it on the sauce packet. It's green like
it's
Loki.
It's right there. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Any other?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing I think is like this is a movie that keeps on giving because if you want to. Like, I keep thinking about the different papers you could write about it. Like, for a while, I was really into Carl Jung dream theory and analysis. And so the idea of annihilation, individuation, the idea of the anima and the animus, the man and the woman, and coming together. Like, all of that stuff is so layered into this movie that it almost seems intentional.
Yep.
And then you also consider things like ideas of the annihilation of the ego or... You know, annihilation of the patriarchy is not the death of one thing. It's something changing to another.
Yep.
We're so resistant to change that we would rather self-destruct and die than embrace it. Like
Civil War.
Civil War, baby. So, yeah, it's just like whatever angle you want to take, it's in there. And I know whatever his interpretation of it, it's so specific enough that it works for him. And I trust him as a filmmaker, but it just leaves it open for us to, you know, bring whatever we want. And that to me is what makes a classic and a really great horror movie.
Yeah.
And a really great sci-fi
great
movie.
Sci-fi.
So, yeah. If y'all haven't seen it, you have to watch it.
Yeah. I do think it's worth a watch. I'm curious if, because you read the whole trilogy,
mm-hmm.
do you feel like there's some stuff that happens in future books or even in the original book that the movie doesn't touch on that, like, that you find really interesting with what Garland does, or do you think it's kind of just its own thing and doesn't really need to be analyzed that way?
It's stuff that's really kind of essential. It only works on the page because it's a lot of playing around with language and letters and words.
Okay.
And there's like interesting concepts like the lighthouse keeper is a character. He's kind of like this person stuck in a weird jelly body.
Oh, wow.
And while that would be kind of interesting on screen, like I really do think that the books are perfect as the books that they are.
Mm.
And the places they go in the books afterwards are interesting, but just like kind of bananas and out there. So I'm really happy with what the movie has become and what it is and just staying that way. But I'd say if you're into some wild ideas and some interesting horror, the books are there.
Nice.
And, yeah, they're a trip.
Cool.
I also recommend this film.
Mm. Is that a triple recommendation?
Whoa.
Wow.
I have a feeling that will happen often on this list, but...
Was it on either of yours' lists?
Oh, that's a great question.
No, absolutely not.
I was going to say, I bet it was not on
As I said, I forgot this movie existed.
Yeah.
I would have voted for Ex Machina if I was going to vote
for...
Oh, because
that came out in the 2010s too.
Yeah. If I was going to vote for a Garland movie, I would have voted for Ex Machina. Now, after watching it, I like this one more.
Whoa.
Like, for the second time, I'm like, no, this one's... I like this one a lot more. Even though Ex Machina has a triumvirate of three incredible performances... this one is like, it's just such a cool adventure. Like it's so scary and so, brutal,
mm-hmm.
but also it asks all of these wonderful science fiction questions and brings up all of these, themes about the nature of humanity, which Ex Machina does as well, but I think I like the visual language of this movie. I think that's what puts it over the top for me,
mm-hmm.
is the colors, children.
Yeah, I just double-checked my list. It did not make my list, but it was definitely... I remember it's on my short list when I was making my list, you know. Something that we've talked about, I'm sure everyone agrees with, like, it's hard to pick a 25.
I had
know,
to make
from
room
10
for
years,
Avengers
like,
Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
Greg
yeah.
always likes to mention that.
Got two slots.
But, yeah, like, I think this movie's, it's, like, kind of similar. I mean, I loved it the first time and was very excited to rewatch it. It's actually kind of crazy that I haven't rewatched it until now for the purposes of this list. And I think maybe if I had rewatched it, it maybe would have snuck onto my list. Because the rewatch was like really rewarding and really like I just picked up on so many things that like the first time watching, I was just like I think I read my old review and I was like, this movie is a trip. like I was just like, you know, overwhelmed by what was happening and like not fully understanding and being so scared of the Scream Bear, you know?
Yeah.
So this time, like, I was able to like settle into like, I know the Scream Bear is coming, so I'm not going to be afraid of it. And I wasn't. It's still very scary.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like, you know, I was able to step away from it and just analyze it and was able to enjoy it more. So
it is a trip.
It is a trip.
Yeah, it is that.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful to look at.
The beauty and the terror.
Shall we play a game?
I would become a flower person.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Here comes the game starring Michael Douglas.
Oh, every dad's favorite movie.
I literally watched it yesterday.
I love that movie. I think it's fucking rules.
I've only seen it once. And I'm just like, really? He knew he was going to jump off that side of the roof?
Oh, yeah.
They did. Know. They know.
It's a highly like meticulous operation.
It's part of the surveys. It's part of that questionnaire at the beginning.
That's if right. You were going to jump off a roof,
which direction would you jump off of?
I mean, it's implied he's there for like hours, right?
Yeah.
That doing the test. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So I bet they get a lot out of him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Game time.
So this game is called Directors Caught in the Shimmer.
Ooh. Ooh.
Neat.
So I'll describe a film.
Evocative.
That is actually a combination of several films by the same director.
Oh.
And you have to name the director.
Hold on, say that one more time. Oh, sorry.
I'll describe a film. Yes. But it'll actually be a combination of several films from the same director.
Okay.
So you have to name the director that
I named directed the director.
This film that I've invented that is basically a shimmered version.
We're going to go back films. And forth, or is this a ding?
Yeah, am I playing against Greg?
You are. what do you guys think? Back and forth or ding?
Everybody plays against Greg.
Everybody plays against Greg.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Even Greg plays against Greg.
Even I do. I'm judging myself on my own past triumphs and failures, and I'm eating my own head.
That's right. Why don't we go back and forth?
Okay.
We'll start with Nick.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
All right. Here's the movie. When a simple housewares employee stumbles upon an abandoned sack of money in the woods, it turns out it was cursed by a disgruntled Roma woman.
Does this have a title?
Ooh, is this Sam Raimi? Did you make up
Sam Raimi
a conglomerate title?
No.
Because that would be giving away the thing.
Yeah, and also it would be hard to do. We could do it. It's
a simple evil dad.
A simple army of dragging to hell.
A simple army of hell. Drag me.
I chose Army of Darkness. I mean, obviously, any of the Evil Dead, but just because he specifically mentions he's a housewares employee in Army of Darkness.
Name's Ash.
Drag housewares. Simple Dead. Yeah.
But yeah. Army of Darkness, Simple Plan, Drag Me to Hell.
Very fun.
Nice.
All right, Greg.
I like this game.
For love of the Simple Plan.
I don't think you talked about baseball.
Oops.
Yeah. But speaking of, question two. When an all-female baseball team finds a strange mechanical fortune-telling machine, they wish to discover a new drug that helps revive catatonic patients.
Penny Marshall.
Correct.
Wow. Excellent.
That is A League of Their Own Big Awakenings.
A League of Their Own Big Awakenings.
Yes, Alan. Yes, this is so good.
All right, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
A centuries-old poem is brought to the big screen using advanced technology and has the title character encountering many historical moments of America, but eventually finds himself on a deserted island struggling to survive.
Robert Zemeckis.
Correct. That is Cast Away, Beowulf Gump.
Cast away, Beowulf Gump.
Maybe the best character name ever.
Hello, my name is Beowulf Gump.
Oh, boy. All right. Greg, back to you.
One of those movies is really good.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Try and guess which one.
Is this part of the game?
No, it's just for fun.
Will I be judged harshly?
No. Which one of those three movies do you like?
Probably, if you were to ask me, you have to. If you were to tell me, like, with a gun in your hand, to watch one of those
that is what
movies,
we're doing.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'd probably say Castaway.
Good answer. Good,
yeah. Correct. Yes.
Yeah, that's the right one. Yeah.
Forrest Gump sucks. Beowulf is a nightmare.
Yeah, it's really hard to watch.
Beowulf
that movie.
Is brutal. Yeah. Yeah. Not the good brutal.
All right. Back to Greg. An undercover agent infiltrates a group of bank robbers during the Iraq War who use a strange neural device to record memories and help disarm bombs.
To record memories?
And help disarm bombs.
And help disarm bombs. Can you say the synopsis one more time?
An undercover agent infiltrates a group of bank robbers during the Iraq War who use a strange neural device to record memories and help disarm bombs.
Oh. I don't know. David O. Russell?
Incorrect. Nick?
Spike Lee?
Also incorrect.
Shit.
Back to Greg. One of you has to get this.
Oh, wait!
Is it Michelle Gondry?
No.
Christopher Nolan?
No.
Damn it!
Spike Jones?
No.
Oh, that's what I meant when I said Spike Lee.
Yeah.
The strange... Okay, I'll tell you the title
okay.
that I just came up with. The Strange Point Locker.
Oh, Catherine Bigelow.
Catherine Bigelow, yeah.
Damn.
Okay.
Point Break, Hurt Locker, Strange Days.
Undercover agent. Oh, Strange Days.
Strange
I don't know
days.
Anything
I've
about.
I've never seen that.
The
Strange Days is bunkers. But that's the neural thing that they wear and it records memories. I remember liking it, but it's been a while. So who knows? All right. This one's for Nick.
Okay.
Two slackers who work at a local convenience store... two slackers work at a local convenience store, but when an eccentric man kidnaps them to turn them into animals, it's discovered that they're actually exiled angels attempting to get back into heaven.
This is an easy one.
Dogmatic Tusk Clerks by Kevin Smith.
That's good.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. That's a good title.
I was trying to think because they're all one-word titles. I'm like, how do I merge these? Dogmatic Tusk Clerks. All right, one more. Greg.
It's for me.
It is for you. Two unlikely companions meet each other overseas and bond over their shared loneliness, but soon turn to a life of crime and robbing the wealthy Hollywood elite, including Elvis Presley's ex-wife.
Including Elvis Presley's ex-wife.
Poor woman.
Yeah. Say it one more time. I'm so sorry.
Two unlikely companions meet each other overseas and bond over their shared loneliness, but soon turn to a life of crime and robbing the wealthy Hollywood elite, including Elvis Presley's ex-wife.
Oh, Sofia Coppola.
That's correct.
Yay.
Lost in the bling ring, Priscilla.
It always ending with the person's name. And there are not enough movie titles that have the person's name in it.
That was it. I just said six. I don't know. They were
no. That was lovely.
That was great.
They were fun to write, but also time consuming. So I couldn't do many more.
I liked that a lot.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Director's Cut in the Shimmer.
That was fun.
You should bring that into trivia. I think people will get a kick out of it.
I think so too.
People would get a kick out of it.
They would.
This is kind of like is this like a proving grounds?
Sometimes.
Yeah, am I a guinea pig right now?
If they go over well, I'm like, I can do that in real life.
Oh, it's a great way to do it. Why not do things here
is the testing ground
where the stakes are so low that they're next to dinosaur bones.
That's right. All right, well, that's it.
We did
this episode.
We did it. Congrats.
Thanks, Nick, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you again later on down the list.
Yeah.
Somewhere down the line.
Way down the line. Closer to the number one spot, no doubt.
Way down the line. I don't know why I did that to Band on the Run, but whatever.
What is that song, Way Down the Line? Who is that? Is that Guess Who?
I don't know.
All right, doesn't matter.
I don't know. I'm so sorry.
That's it, though. You can email us at thehammockdistrictonthird@gmail.com.
Numerical 3.
You can also follow us on socials, Bad Neighbors Pod. And you can subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah, Return of the King is out right now, baby.
That's right.
Patreon.com/Boathouse Studios. House spelt the German way.
We did Return to the King, and we had a great time.
We did. Yeah. Camille was on there, too.
She sure was. And we'll be back next week with number 38 on the list.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. And as always...
Bye.